And certainly it is a great and glorious time when we think about the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the shame of it is how that the world has taken and mutilated and destroyed some of the meaning as far as what is brought about or told to people. It will never destroy the meaning to you and I that are believers, that are Christians, because we know exactly what Christmas is all about. It's about the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But America needs the gift of God. And America needs this Christmas gift. A very renowned man of years ago who was an agnostic. He was embittered because of things that had happened to him. He made the statement that the first half of our lives are ruined by our parents. The second half of our lives are ruined by our children. Clarence Darrow hated God and hated everything in relationship to God. And so therefore that was his view of his life and his world. Aren't you glad this morning that he didn't know what he's talking about? I'm glad, thank God, for the first half of my life. Wasn't ruined by my parents, but gave me some instruction and gave me some understanding. I'm glad for the next half of my life has been the joy of the Lord of having a daughter and having grandchildren and the joy that comes by family. And having the family gather around at special times like this. But the American family as we know it, or as it has been, is in a sad shape, probably sadder than it ever has been. The biblical concept of the family is on the verge of disappearing altogether. Statistics tell us that 30% of white children are born out of wedlock and 70% of black children are born out of wedlock. That's a terrible statistic. It tells us that divorce rate is over 50% now. There are 1 million teen pregnancies annually. There is a drug epidemic across our country. 4,000 babies are aborted every day. General acceptance of homosexuality and same-sex marriages are just a common everyday thing now. We are losing the reality of what family life should be and is all about as far as the Scripture is concerned. The greatest gift that we could give to America this morning would be the gift of our Savior's message to come unto Him, all ye labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. We as children of God and our families and our churches, we should be governed by the Word of God. We should love and serve our Savior, Jesus Christ. We should take the gospel to the world that is lost, and we should pray for heaven to send revival upon us. We must determine, I believe, to try to make a difference in this world in which we live. Some people say, I am just one person. What difference can I make? I'm just one among many. How can I make a difference? Well, I believe our church certainly should strive to make a difference. I believe our families should make a difference. And then I believe we ought to bring it down closer to you and I. I believe I ought to make a difference, or at least try to make a difference in this world that is disintegrating before our very eyes. There was a man named Billy Sunday. And one day he went to a place called the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois. And there he found what it meant to be a Christian. I'll read my scripture here in just a moment, but this is sort of an introduction leading up to it. This week, Brother Larry and Teresa and children are up in Chicago. And Wednesday, Christmas Day, they're going to be helping serve lunch at Pacific Garden Mission. And I've heard about the place, and we've known folks, and we've had people come through here that even had their life story put on the Unshackled. So I began to do a little bit of work upon, can one person make a difference? And I looked at the history of Pacific Garden Mission, and it's amazing. And I want to just read a portion of it to you. Couldn't read it all, or we wouldn't get finished. But it says, in the early 1860s, a lady by the name of Sarah Dunn paused to admire her work as she prepared an elaborate decoration for her family's home in Waterloo, Iowa. It seemed that she heard a voice from God saying, "What are you doing to decorate your heavenly home?" Those thoughts of perishing souls marching into eternity without Christ flooded Sarah's mind. In time, Sarah Dunn moved to Chicago, and God laid it on her heart to open a mission Sunday school at State and 23rd Streets. It was here that she met and married Colonel George Clark in 1873. Colonel Clark dealt in real estate until God gave him the same desire as his wife to begin a rescue mission to minister the gospel of Christ. On September the 15th, 1877, the Clarks opened a ministry in a tiny storefront on South Clark Street in the very heart of the Devil's Territory. Seating capacity was about 40. The pot-bellied stove kept out the Chicago chill, and kerosene lanterns supplied flickering light. Heartwarming Bible verses graced the walls and speaking eloquently of God's love. In 1880, Colonel Clark found larger quarters, what is now 67 East Van Buren Street, in a building vacated by the notorious Pacific Beer Garden. Later, D.L. Moody, fresh from evangelistic meetings in England, suggested that the Clarks drop out the word beer and add the word mission, and to call it Pacific Garden Mission. A man by the name of Billy Sunday, a popular professional baseball player for Chicago White Sox, came to the mission in 1886. He first heard the gospel from the mission gospel wagon on the corner of State and Van Buren. He visited the mission that night and liked what he heard, and one night Billy publicly accepted Christ as his Savior. He became an eager Bible student and gave his testimony frequently at the mission. He learned his first lesson in giving the invitation and talking man to man with sinners, explaining salvation. Later, after turning down a lucrative offer to continue his baseball career, Billy Sunday became a world-renowned evangelist. When Colonel Clark died in 1892, mission convert Harry Monroe took over the helm, with Sarah Clark remaining as the mission mother. Harry Monroe came to Chicago after being released in Detroit from a counterfeiting charge. He wandered into Pacific Garden Mission and was approached by Colonel Clark at the end of the service. Monroe responded to the Savior, and his life was changed. Soon after, he was given charge of song service and helped bring the mission hall alive with glad gospel songs. Monroe, a master at soul winning both personally and pointed individuals to the Lamb of God and calling out to those attending the missions meeting. He had also introduced the gospel wagon during Colonel Clark's days. From that horse-drawn wagon, workers preached, gave testimonies, and sang the gospel to preach to people on the street. It was during Henry Monroe's leadership as superintendent that Mel Trotter came to the mission. Mel Trotter was a helpless drunk on his way to the murky waters of Lake Michigan. He had given up on any hope of change and was going to take his life. But a friendly invitation from a doorman to come into Pacific Garden Mission to hear the gospel was the beginning of a new life for Trotter. Superintendent Harry Monroe, on testimony, touched Trotter's heart, and he cried out to the Lord for forgiveness. Trotter's life was drastically changed. He lost his thirst for alcohol and received complete victory in his life. Now, there's two people that, if you know anything about church history, you know those are folks that have been very influential in people coming to know Christ. Billy Sunday and Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter is that man that was a drunk and his baby had died, and he stole the shoes off of the baby's feet and went out and sold them to buy another shot of whiskey. And that night on his way going to Lake Michigan, it wasn't to swim. It was there that he was going to destroy himself and destroy his life. And he heard that message of salvation and came to know the Lord and became a vibrant preacher of the gospel and a preacher telling others. Billy Sunday, as we read, was saved there at that garden mission. During Billy Sunday's ministry, there was a crusade that was held, and there was a meeting in that. There was a boy in that meeting by the name of Fred Donaldson. You may have never heard of Fred Donaldson. I met him one time in my life, and in that meeting, he came to know the Lord as his personal Savior. He became a missionary, one of the first missionaries that had come in modern day time that left this continent and went to the land of China, and there established many, many churches. He had a son that was saved and began to preach the gospel, and back here in the States had a boy that became a preacher. It's all because somebody cared, somebody believed, and somebody heard the gospel. Under that man, his son's preaching, he had a church there in Virginia. A young man come to hear him preach, and he got saved. And when I tell you his name, you'll immediately know who that is. This man started a church in the city of Lynchburg, Virginia. His name is Jerry Falwell. Now, Falwell was a vibrant preacher of the Word of God. I may not agreed with him on everything. I don't agree with me on everything. But he certainly was a voice for righteousness and across our country. And here's a man that got saved because of a garden mission there in Chicago that is there, and it is the oldest mission in our country, and is there because God laid upon the heart of one lady, what are you doing to decorate your home in heaven? I can make a difference, and you can make a difference. And we're living in this most wonderful time of all time, and we're living in this time of the year we call Christmas, and I believe we can make a difference. There was one that came from heaven. He certainly made a difference. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter number 2, I want to just read what is commonly called out of Luke, the Christmas story. We'll not read all of it for sake of time, but I just want us to think this morning a little bit about this giving and about the reason and how we can make a difference in people's lives because of what Christ has done for us and how He came and made a difference in our life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with his wife, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she would be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The most wonderful time of the year is the year that we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that there would be no cross if there was no cradle. If the Lord Jesus had not been born, of course He would not have lived and died and offered salvation to a lost and dying world. Now we celebrate the time when He is birthed and come into this world. And it is called, and the song is even written, and I robbed the title of the song, but certainly a different message, that this is the most wonderful time of the year. That we think about the birth of that one that came from glory, that we noticed last week that He became flesh and He dwelt among us. It's a time that God gave us His Son. It's a time of giving. We receive, we give gifts, and the children come in, and they just can't hardly wait till that time that they get to open all those packages. And I've watched down through the years that I find out that it's not what you have in the package, it's just the paper on the outside. And they just want to rip it open and tear it apart, and that's all that's involved. And where's another one and another one? And then when you get to the end of it, they say, is that all? And you want to break their neck. Is that all? And we have all those things, and it's a time of giving. I heard the story of a 90-year-old woman that, who one Christmas found that going out and buying all the presents was a little bit hard on her. And so she decided she would just, for her friends and family, she would just write a check out and put in a Christmas card and send it to them. And out beside there, she signed her name and she said, just buy your own present. Well, about the middle of January, she looked in her desk drawer and there was all those checks that she had written. And she got to thinking about it. Oh my, I sent all those cards out and it said, just buy your own present. I'm sure she was the talk of the town. Because sometimes that's all we think about is the giving and the getting, receiving of the gift. Sometimes it becomes almost like that we are so greedy that we all just, how much can I get? Well, this morning Christmas is more than jingle bells. It's about Jesus. Christmas is more than about Rudolph. It's about the Redeemer. It's more than Frosty. It's forgiveness. It's more than even the Grinch that stole Christmas. It's about the God that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior. It's time. It's more than just buying gifts. And it's a time of the birth of the Son of God. It's not for just simply the toys for the children, but it's a tribute and should be a tribute to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that He came and dwelt among men. Too many people, the Christmas bells will ring and they'll never think about why they're really ringing. To them is a time when Santa comes and gives all of his gifts and never have a thought about the real gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3, and through 5 says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We all like gifts. We all desire gifts. We all want to have them. And when we receive them, we love them from people that we respect and people that we love in our heart. But the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. The Scripture tells us how blessed it is for us to be able to be an influence and to make an impression upon folks' lives. I want us to think this morning concerning the gift of God, the gift that He gave to us. You see, the wise men, when they came bearing gifts and they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there we have the tradition of giving gifts upon this day that we call Christmas. But on this day, when Jesus was born, God gave His Son to men. God gave the miracle birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son and would call His name Emmanuel, God with us. It is this one that was rocked in the cradle, but yet He was rocked and has rocked the world and has established Himself as the King of glory and one day will be crowned as that. He changed the calendar. For on that day of His birth, calendar, the time hinges upon before Christ and before His birth and then after His death. We find that even the atheists, when they have a birthday, they recognize that they were born in the year of our Lord. Now there's a trend going and there's a force trying to take place to get A.D. and B.C. out of our calendars, but we know that on Jesus Christ, all eternity and all time hinges upon Him. You'd expect Jesus to be born as we know that He was a king. We'd expect Him to be wrapped in the purple and the fine linen and the clothes of a king. But we find in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7 that she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped Him in swaddling clothes. And those swaddling clothes were nothing more than grave clothes to begin with, and same type of clothes that He was wrapped in when He died and when He was buried. And so even in His birth, we find that He was telling us that He was going to die and die for mankind. The eternal Son of God became visible, He that was invisible. The infinite became an infant. Divinity took upon humanity, and we find that he was hung on a tree, and we have gifts under a tree. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. And that's why this is one of the most wonderful times of the year. For Jesus was that prepared gift for mankind. You see, it was not a last-minute shopping spree. I'd be afraid to ask some of you guys, and maybe some of you ladies, how many of you have to go out tomorrow and get a gift for somebody. Sometimes we wait till the last minute. Sometimes we have it on our shopping list, and somehow we forget one, or we just have to rush out and go and get a gift at that last minute. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't on the last minute shopping list. We find that the Scripture says in Isaiah chapter 7, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, called His name Emmanuel." Here we find the future is foretold and where and when. Galatians 4 and verse 4 says, "In the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." You see, Jesus Christ did not have His beginning at Bethlehem, for He in the beginning was the Word, and He was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, but yet He was in the beginning. He was born at a special time, but that wasn't the beginning of our Savior. Thank God He's from eternity to eternity. And Jesus is that prepared gift. He was conceived. He wasn't created. He was put upon this world. He was both deity and He was dust. And He was divinity and He was humanity, all wrapped up in one flesh. He was God. As much God as He was man, as much man as you and I are. It's hard for us to comprehend that, but that's what the Scripture tells us about the Lord. He was that prepared gift. Even before the foundation of the world, Jesus was as a lamb slain that we might have life through His name. And when the process of time and when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made in flesh. And John says, we beheld His glory. Thank God this morning we can find in our Scripture the glory of the Lord continually from Genesis to Revelation, and especially in the gospel account of the birth and the life and the death of the Son of God. As much as we have before us all these Scriptures, many times we forget about what the real meaning of Christmas is that He was a prepared gift, prepared for you and I. Isn't it a strange thing that people will mock His name and yet He's a gift to them? Isn't it a strange thing that people will treat the Lord as just nobody and nothing when He's the one that died upon Calvary? Isn't it a strange thing that sometimes we forget about the Lord, we never think about God, we never have any thought of the Lord, we never pray to Him, we never have any relationship with the Lord, and yet we say we're Christian. If God did with us as He should do, He would send us all to hell. But He was that prepared gift that offered Himself a ransom to everyone that would believe upon Him. Not only was He a prepared gift, but He was a perfect gift. Just what they needed. How many times have you heard someone say, "Well, that's just what I needed"? Well, Jesus Christ is just what we needed. He was that one that was perfect in every way. I was thinking back this year, and I guess the older you get, the more you do this. I think about years gone by. I've heard people talk about reminiscing how older you get. I'm going to try to stop that stuff. But I was thinking about, I don't remember a lot of Christmases. We had them every year. But there was only one that really stands out in my mind. I had opened up all my gifts and everything was there, but it wasn't what I asked for. Well, that a lot of times. But I just knew for sure that I was going to get this present that I wanted. I was about 7 years old, I guess. And of all the other Christmases, I remember this one. I guess it, first of all, because I was so disappointed. I didn't have it. I didn't get it. And I knew better than say anything about it because that didn't work. Not like today. And everything was open and everything was put off and I was playing with what I had. And somewhere in the shuffle of things, my dad had gone out the back door, and he had rolled that bicycle in that I wanted. And it was sitting there for a long time before I saw it. And then all of a sudden he said, "Son, if you'll turn around, you'll find something else." And I turned around, and there was that perfect gift. And I've had a lot of Christmases, but that one stands out more than any. Because I got what I really, really wanted, and I thought I really needed. Now, a little bit later down the road, I didn't need it as bad as I thought I did. It wasn't that one, but a little bit later. You know when you get good at something, you think you can just do anything with them? You're invincible? Well, I found out I wasn't invincible. And I was coming down a hill, it was a pretty steep hill, and I said, "There's a curve down there, and I've got to make it." Well, I made it, but the bicycle didn't. And so that perfect gift I got wasn't so perfect at that time. It took 21 stitches right up that arm. And so that wasn't too... I said, "I don't care if I ever get on a bicycle again." But Jesus Christ was that perfect gift that every one of us had to have. There's no way of escaping this old world without Jesus. There's no way of getting out of this world and going to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God has prepared Him for us. He's that prepared gift. Now we find that He is that perfect gift that we must have. And if we will just look to Him, we may not have to turn around from all the hustle and bustle, and we might have to sometime. We may be busy with all the things that we have, and it might be that we just need to turn around and find out the Lord is there waiting for all of us. And so this perfect gift that He gave, God's gift, one size fits all. I mean, He takes care of everybody. He takes care of all of those that will call upon His name. He will in no wise cast them out. The gifts that we give, one of the most busy times of the year during Christmas is December, not the 24th, but what is it? It's December 26th. Because the next day after, we've got all those gifts. They're not the right color, they're not the right size, they're not what I want, that's not what I need, and so I take them back and I get what I want. Well, the Lord being the perfect gift, He's never had to be exchanged. He's never had to be given for something else, there's not something better. He's just the perfect gift. He came in the fullness of time. We find during this time of the year, there's a special movie that everybody likes to watch. It's called A Wonderful Life. And you know why it's such a wonderful life for you and I? It's because of our perfect gift. What God has done for you and I. What Christ has given to us. Not only is the Lord a prepared gift, not only is He a perfect gift, but we find, lastly, that He's a permanent gift. He's a gift that when all the electronic things stop working, when all the flashing lights stop flashing, and all the bells stop ringing, and the Lincoln logs are lost, and the Legos are gone, and all those computers are crashed, Jesus Christ, He's still there. We get those things that pass away because they're temporal. But the greatest gift of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's permanent. He forever is. He forever shall be. He forever was. The same yesterday, today, forever. I said in the very beginning that we find that God gave the Son to men. And now it's time that men ought to give their souls to God. It is a time that when God has given so much, why not give ourselves to Him? There was a card one day that was sent that says, "Forget about the past, you can't change it. Forget about the future, you can't predict it. Forget about the present. I didn't get you one." But you know what? Jesus Christ has given us the greatest gift of all time. His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you have the wonderful life of a Christian? Sadly, most people in the world, they have to say, I don't know him. There are some people that even name the name of Christian, but yet they really don't know him. They only have it in name, not in understanding. There's a lot of people that go to church this morning and they're still in their sins. They need Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would ask him and he would have given you living water. There Jesus talked to that Samaritan woman and he said, if you knew who he was talking to. My friend, this morning, if you're here without Christ, if you really knew who Jesus was, you would ask of him and he would give you living water. All we can do is make a difference in somebody's life. One person can change a lot of things. One person can change the lives of many, many people. May God help us this morning to understand that Jesus brought a light into a dark world. And he is that light of the world. That every heart that is darkened by sin, he'll save. But we must believe, we must exercise faith in him, that gift of God. What a wonderful time of the year. It's more than just getting and receiving gifts. It's more than the festivities. It's more than the meals and the family get-togethers. The most wonderful time of the year is because of the gift of God that was given unto us that we might have life. Do you have that gift? Do you know him as your personal Savior? Let's stand together this morning.